I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power 365 show. Before we chat with today's guest, here's a quick message from our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by me. If you've been interested in my podcast for a while, you'll know how passionate I am about helping people grow their Microsoft Business Application career. If you're interested in getting career coaching, please let me know by going to enter365guy.com/coaching. I'd love to have a chat. Full show notes for this episode can be found at podcast.nz365guy.com. And with that, let's get on with the show. Well, today's guest is from Seattle, Washington in the United States. He's the Senior Program Manager in Dynamics 365 Marketing Engineering at Microsoft. He's a husband, father, a Renaissance man, commerce and strategy leader, and a mentor. So we're going to get into all that. If you want to check him out, you can see him on Twitter at JJ Wheat. John Wheat, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. Good to have this discussion, particularly around Dynamics 365 marketing. There seems to be so many changes going on there. But before we get underway with that, tell us a bit about your family, food, and fun, like all those things that don't necessarily involve Microsoft at this point.
Oh, that's great. I mean, those are things that matter at the end of the day. You know, I mean, there's always more work to do, but I think we all do that to be able to enjoy our family and friends and recreation and so forth. Like you mentioned, I've got a couple little girls. One is 15 and one who just turned 9 this week. So they keep me pretty busy skiing and rollerblading and, you know, introducing new foods to them and things. We live in Seattle, are pretty lucky to have an amazing food culture. So lots of fun things to go try around town, whether that be in the restaurant scene or whether it be at home, you know, working to cook stuff ourselves.
So have you just had a massive heat wave or something there I've seen in the media a bit?
We have. It's been unbelievably hot for Seattle, 110 degrees, 108 degrees Fahrenheit last week. And, you know, steady in the 80s and 90s quite a bit, which is very, very unusual. I've lived in Seattle my whole life. And I think we've only hit 103 ever before. And so it's quite challenging. Nobody's sleeping and you're not sure what to cook. It's a lot of salads and, fun fruits and vegetables.
Do you get out swimming at all?
We did, you know, we're lucky enough to have some friends who have a place on the lake. We went over there one night and
nice.
I got to enjoy a bit of that, swimming and watching the ducks and the eagles actually, there in town. So lucky to be able to do that as well.
Good, good. How did you end up working at Microsoft? What was your journey in there?
Well, that's a good one. I've been at Microsoft 15 years now, and it's been quite a journey. You know, I never thought I would be at Microsoft. I come from a startup background. I spent most of my, my 20s and in various startups from, starting a company right at college, just a few of us, and to larger ones, more like, a few hundred or up to 1,000 or 1,400 people. And really love the energy and just the creativity and the problem solving and that that kind of common suffering that startup culture has. So I always thought I'd just continue down that path. But at one point, I was working for a company and we'd sort of been spun off from another startup, and a guy I connected with recruited me to come to Microsoft is when Microsoft was investing in the mobile business heavily, which is sort of funny now. But pitched me on basically coming to Microsoft and that there are, you know, startup like areas inside the company. That you can go make a difference. You can have some of that same culture here. Mm-hmm. So my wife was actually like, John, there's no way you're not a Microsoft guy. It's a big company culture. And, you know, this is 15 years ago. It wasn't Satya then. It was, you know, right in the middle of Ballmer era there.
And, yeah. Yeah.
It was a great move initially, but after being there a while, maybe 6 months, I realized, God, I made the right decision. But looking back now, I'm so grateful. It's been amazing. And I'm lucky enough to have been able to find, like my early friend who recruited me, like he had promised, I've been able to find a number of fun projects for the company to go and try and do more of those startup-like things. And so that's sort of what I've tried to do over the years is figure out if I'm going to change roles or even if I'm on a team, how can I contribute and bring that same kind of mindset, a growth mindset, really. It's coined now, but back then it wasn't a thing. I've always tried to find projects. We have Windows Phone, of course, that's all gone, but we did some innovative stuff there for a while and learned a lot from the failures as well as successes there. And I've gotten to work on some fun things like Xbox All Access, which was a new way to light up experiences that kind of combined subscriptions, a hardware product, a financial product, all into one.
So you've been in Dynamics 365, the marketing area, for about, I can see here on your LinkedIn, a year, 8 months. What made you move into this part of the business?
Well, the last couple projects I worked on, I really found a lot of joy in helping to transform experiences. And in fact, it really goes back to my childhood, I'd say. My parents owned a retail store, and we were always taught the value of delivering a great experience to a customer. And not just a great experience around a product or selling something, although that was something we were taught as children. It was more around delivering value and transformation education to help, our customers, live a better life. We owned a hobby shop, and so we would sell, things like toy trains and radio control cars. A lot of it was about the experience of learning how to build something and doing that with your dad or with your mom what kind of experiences you could do as a family. So I think in my career, I've always found that valuable and tried to incorporate it into different roles. But we've never had the same kind of technologies what's been showing up in the last few years. And so when I was working on Xbox All Access and Surface All Access and looking at what's happening in the broader enterprise space with digital transformation, I really wanted to find a role where I could lean in with our commercial customers and help them to be able to achieve some of the things we're being able to do in our own business, our own consumer business here at Microsoft.
So with marketing, it's had an interesting and a peppered journey, over the years, which I'm sure you're aware of. What's different now? Because I seem, in my looking on at the product now and the people behind it, it seems to be growing up very quickly.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I've gotten that in the last, year and a half a lot. Like, hey, is this a real thing now? Because, I never thought of Microsoft as a marketing technology company. Sure, I think of Microsoft as having marketing for Xbox or Windows, but not as delivering capabilities yourselves. And then, for those of you who've been around a while, there was a few, a false start or two investing in some capabilities before. Well, it's a completely different thing this time. And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to be able to join the team, like you said, a year and a half ago. You know, the level of investment and the level of thought and, you know, commitment has been pretty amazing. And I've, you know, I've been on some startup projects before where it's like, you know, maybe there's a dozen people inside the company all trying to push a rock uphill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that will only get you so far. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, when the new budget comes, you get cut, or if you don't have, you know, the right exec approval, can get shifted quickly. This is a different deal altogether because there's really, you know, alignment all the way up the ladder to really invest in transforming the space and thinking about how do we serve our enterprise customers and help them to change how they can deliver, you know, elevated customer experiences. And using the data to do that, using the incredible, you know, AI capabilities, and really the best that Microsoft has to offer. So it's not even about the Dynamics marketing product anymore. It's more around using that product to help bring together, you know, great capabilities from across the company, inside Dynamics, but also in Azure, also in Teams, to serve those enterprises and to help them to be able to achieve more without having to go to IT for everything, or to go, you know, hire an army of engineers.
So what do you say? Like, you know, marketing software is interesting in that it's quite different than, you know, really anything in the MarTech landscape is you often see designed really for people that the people using the technology often don't have a very strong technology background, right? They, I mean, that's changing, but traditionally they just want to use a tool that works, does what it says. And where, if you look at the traditional Microsoft partner and those involved in technology, you know, they'd go and do a big implementation project, blah, blah, blah. But this is more, you know, finished software. It's good to go. And how are you seeing that transition? Because, you know, the engineering of even Dynamics 365 marketing, of which I was quite a critic in its early days, seemed to be designed by a bunch of engineers that were totally devoid of the reality of who marketers were and the marketing landscape. Now, as I say, that's changed massively in the last 3 years. But how do you create that relevance for the target audience, and that it's quite a different implementation process than, you know, traditional ERP, CRM, or anything that fits in that gamut of products?
Lots of layers to that one. Let's see. So yeah. I think the first thing I'd say is I agree with you. I think not only inside what the Dynamics marketing product may have been a couple of years ago, but just generally a lot of, you know, Microsoft products historically, you know, have been built by engineers sort of based on their own mindset and how they would want something, not really based on, you know, being a customer-led design. And so a lot of that starts with leadership and with hiring and what kinds of people are you bringing in, and are you bringing people that are going to really learn and get in the heads of the customer problems and how they work. In this case, that, you know, the enterprises or the marketers at those enterprises, and try to understand and be able to, you know, not just develop what they're asking for, because sometimes that's not the right thing, but to hopefully develop something that is, you know, better than what they're asking for and easier to use than what they're asking for. And so I'd say one of the things that brought me to this team was a refreshingly different mindset and culture that prioritizes that. And that is absolutely how we think about product design. You know, our PM community is talking about that on a regular basis. The engineering community, I think, has a really customer-focused mindset. And we spend an absolute ton of time with customers. I mean, listening. What do you like or dislike about this? How do you work? How does this fit into your existing workflow? Well, is that the right workflow? What if you did it this way? Would that work? You know, and really trying to understand, and also think through things that they may not be aware of around where the landscape is going. And so trying to bring those together in a thoughtful way so that we can help, you know, even those low digital maturity customers, and, you know, they don't necessarily have an army of expert marketers like like we might have, or another big brand like Amazon or Uber or Warby Parker, some of these disruptors. Those guys have huge teams of high dollar talent. How can we help our enterprises to have some of that thinking baked in and make it easy? An author I read for years once said, it's best to try to put the cookies in a lower shelf so the kids can get to them. And so I sort of think, we're trying to do that in our product, make it easy for, every business user to be able to figure it out and use it and drive value.
Are you seeing, if you look at the customer audience for Dynamics 365 marketing, are you seeing a difference in the company sizes that are now acquiring the product and then the difference between them and agency land, marketing agencies that are doing something on behalf of a company? They're quite different. They have massively different, in a way, requirements of a software product like this. What are you seeing?
Let's see. So yes, answer to the first part of the question, the customer segment has definitely changed and over the last year and a half, 2 years. I think when the capabilities were first introduced, a lot of our customers were SMB, SMC organizations. And certainly we still have lots of those, and that space is continuing to grow. But we've really seen a lot of adoption now sort of coming up market into enterprises and even some very large enterprises, some bigger brands, folks, like from Campari to Hewlett Packard to, mid-sized brands, maybe like Leatherman or others that are interested in exploring, what the future of marketing could look like and how they empower their teams to be more successful. And let's see, what was the second part of the question?
that shift in your customer base, which I think you've answered. But then the second part was, what about the agencies out there that are either having their customers say, we want to use this tool, or they're actually going, you know what, this tool fits the agency, or it's one of the tools as an agency we can use.
Yeah. So on that one, there's several types of agencies, as you're probably well aware. Mm-hmm. And I say the most interest we've been seeing in the agency space is in the really full service, like digital agencies, the ones who are focused on transforming customer experiences and are helping organizations of all sizes, some of which are very large, to think through what are the moments that matter from marketing through commerce and sales all the way to service, and how do they, how can they help their organizational clients take advantage of, a lot of the new real-time journey orchestration capabilities that we've been introducing into the product. So those agencies have been super passionate about the space and trying to learn about what we're doing and investing getting out and talking to their customers about what we're trying to do here. I'd say on the more traditional advertising or marketing agencies, right now I see less pickup there because a lot of those folks, they're doing a lot of work on behalf of customers, and have those big sort of bigger armies of people that can do that sort of thing. And I'd say most of our customers, they don't tend to be. They may leverage an agency for certain pieces of content, and they might leverage an agency for developing their template set or their brand guidance or those kinds of things. But we're not seeing a heavy usage of agencies that come into the tool and running the operations, because a lot of our customers really want to do that in house.
Yeah, that makes sense. And more companies, I feel, are dedicating resources to the marketing part of their business these days. And as we moved into this massive digital landscape, which, COVID must have had an impact in this area, in that a lot of traditional methods of marketing are not necessarily working anymore, like, you know, physical advertising. What are you seeing in the marketing space? What are you seeing that excites you, or the changes that you're seeing, and how is this changing how you're thinking about the software?
Well, what really excites me is that I feel like we are in a new era where we can start to deliver more value to the end customer, our organizational customers than ever before, in a much more personalized way. I think about, my life personally, my wife and kids, we live busy lives. Like when we interact with brands, whether that be a consumer brand or a healthcare organization or a service provider, we really don't have time to put up with people who aren't delivering value for us. Life's too short. We want to be able to get back to what we care about most. And so what I'm most excited about is that we're in this unique place right now and in the coming couple of years here where I feel like we're able to use the data and the technology in new ways than we've ever been able to do before to be able to deliver those kinds of experiences on scale. I mean, it was really nice that my dad and, in our little retail store, we're able to do that one-off because that's what our DNA was. And we could do that with a few customers in the neighborhood of our store in Seattle here. But to be able to do that, at scale and really create great experiences, meaningful experiences, elevated experiences for people, it's never really been able to be possible before. Now, still a lot of bits and pieces that need to come together as you sort through the data. What data matters more? How do you take advantage of that data and go actually land impact? But I'm excited that we're in a time now where between what we're doing, there's many other companies that are investing as well in different pieces of the ecosystem that hopefully in the coming years, we all will be able to have a lot better experiences in our lives and spend more time doing what we care about most.
Yeah. So you mentioned data there. Is that part of the, or is that the reason we're seeing this massive transformation, that data is now available at every touch point and that's feeding the engagement? I think of real-time marketing now, is that out of preview? Is it still in preview? And how, using triggers to feed into the customer journey and engagement, where marketing is now really becoming the marketing message is down to the individual rather than in some ways the groups or the categories.
That's right. No, it really is becoming an audience of one. If not that, micro segments. And that is definitely because of the data. Now, the challenge is, we've seen this explosion of data the last few years. I mean, there's been a fair amount of data available for a while, but the problem has been, how do you sort through that and drive intelligence out of that data and then convert that into action in the moment that matters? And until recently, we really haven't had any way to do that effectively. And the brands that have had a measure of success doing that have done so with massive engineering investments. Proprietary. They may have bought some off the shelf stuff and then highly customized that across their landscape. And of course, most organizations, even large, very large organizations, cannot afford to spend what the DTC disruptors are spending on CX and engineering investment. I think it all starts with the signal, and then being able to make intelligence out of that signal, and then being able to do that quickly in a real time basis. And that answers your question around the preview. Yeah, so for those who don't know, we've been in a public preview for these new real-time customer journey orchestration capabilities that are now becoming part of the Dynamics 365 marketing product to complement, the multi-channel outbound capabilities that have been there building the last few years. And the new real-time capabilities are still in preview. We are working really hard to get those out to general availability. And that should happen pretty soon, possibly very, very near or shortly after you are listening to this broadcast, certainly over the next weeks or month and a half or two here.
Yeah. Well, this podcast probably won't go out till then. So check if you're listening, take a look and see if that has been released. Tell me, what are you seeing in the partner side of things, the partner landscape, your traditional implementation partner? Are you seeing them evolve when it comes to marketing? Because marketing has so, you know, even as I say this, has so much soft skills, but then I feel like marketing is becoming highly digital, as in data-driven. So therefore requiring quite, you know, advanced tech AI type skills and the ability to understand mass amount of data. What are you seeing on the customer side, sorry, on the partner side when it comes to, you know, providing implementation services? Are they moving away from your traditional technology type partner to somebody that has, you know, deep marketing skills?
Yeah, so it's sort of a mix. I mean, I think in the last year, you know, half or so, we've spent a lot of time with the traditional SI community and, you know, a lot of folks who came from a CRM background, but also a number of new entrants, you know, that are passionate about the marketing space. And to your point, there's definitely a mix of skills needed. And this is a challenge for some partners, because if you know, are coming from a CRM background or a finance operations background, the language of a marketer, of storytelling, of customer experience, of, you know, marketing KPIs and data can be overwhelming to begin with. And that can be scary, but we have seen a lot of partners, really an unbelievable number of partners investing in this last year and a half. So we have a very robust partner community now that is up to speed on the Dynamics 365 marketing, like the core set of capabilities, and also have been ramping up very quickly on the new real-time journey orchestration capabilities. Yeah. I guess my advice for that community has been the same the whole time, which is like, take the time to either learn the marketing, the CX space, including the data piece of it, like you're mentioning. And that means you might need to hire different skill sets to your team. Maybe you already have a strong partner right now, actually, in the CIO area here, who has a very strong data science background. And so they were ramping up more on the marketing CX side of things. On the other hand, we have other partners who are CRM, and they need to sort of ramp up on both the data science piece and the marketing language and experience development, journey or design piece of it. And then we see another group of partners which are partnering to do this. And that means going in and, you know, pairing up with one of those, you know, full service or digital agencies I was discussing before. And this is what we found to be pretty effective. I know, several different partners that have done this, where they've worked together and they've gone in and won very large brands because they can use the expertise from that, you know, even a relatively small full service agency, digital agency, to get the language and the pitch and to understand the right prioritization of where to start. And then being able to leverage, you know, the implementation skills and, core dynamics, expertise from the SI partner.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally makes sense that this pivot is happening. What about customer insights and dynamics marketing? How are you seeing those two come together, and what is the opportunities that it presents?
Yeah, bringing CI, customer insights, and marketing together a key area that we've been investing in foundationally in the product, because it's so important to our customers. And you know, it all starts with breaking down those data silos and then being able to convert that, you know, that the data silos and that single finished review of the customer into some sort of intelligence, you know, using AI and customer insights to be able to identify, you know, high lifetime value potential customers or high risk for churn. Using the signal. But it can't stop there. We have seen a lot of organizations that have invested in customer insights or in other CDPs, and it can be a massive investment in time and resources. But if you don't convert those to action, it's not going to drive the business impact that mm-hmm. teams are looking for. And so that's where marketing and customer journey orchestration come in, because you can go very easily light those up. And luckily, the connection that we have, for the real-time customer journey orchestration is very deep. So you can, you can not just do something based on a particular segment like you might in some of the competitive products, but you can actually pull through the customer insights profile information down into the branching of the journey and into different steps to be able to really drive the most rich personalization based on all of that profile information. And then, over time, that will become a learning flywheel so that the journey becomes more and more impactful to those specific customers.
So good. Well, as in our time is drawing to an end, I always like to wrap up with a few quick fire questions, which are just about life in general.
Great.
Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
First one. Okay. What's something you did as a child that your parents still retell a story?
Oh, boy. That is a good question. Probably I had a strong interest in architecture. So I was drawing mm-hmm. houses and like buildings when I was like 12 or 13.
Wow.
Just as a passion, like full size houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. And luckily I've been able to do that a couple times as an adult, doing a remodel our house and also building designing a cabin as well. And so I think my mom would probably tell you about that when I was a kid.
Nice. What's one thing you like that creeps other people out?
Creeps other people out? Man, you got tough questions. Boy, I don't know. I don't think I do anything that's creepy.
No, but like some people like snakes. And for me, that would just be like, I'm not going near a snake as a pet or something like that. So,
I'm with you on the snakes. No snakes for me. No tarantulas, yeah. Nothing like that. creeps people out. Boy, I don't know. I read a lot of books, less lately, just with how busy work's been and some other things, but mm-hmm. back then, I'd say sometimes my level of reading and book recommendations probably get to be annoying or creepy to some people.
Okay. Last question. If you could solve one world problem without obviously being COVID, what would it be?
I would probably say education. I think, mm-hmm. I feel like there's just so many challenges in helping not just kids, but everyone have a passion and a commitment to learning. And for me, it's just been absolutely critical in my career and in my family life to live a good life, an impactful life. I think it's important to always be learning and challenging ourselves to learn from others. And I think, I would try to help as many people as possible keep learning.
I like it. What's I know I said it was the last question, but what's your top recommended book at the moment?
I would say, one that I recommend a ton that I get a lot of feedback on, people love, is a book called Never Split the Difference, How to Negotiate as If Your Life Depends on It. Have you read it?
I certainly have. I've got it right here behind me on the bookshelf, and I read it each year, actually, for the last 3 years.
Yeah. So that one I've kept on my desk pretty much for about, I've been on that 3 or 4 years. I used to do a lot of business development with, let's say, a certain type of enterprise customer that was fairly bureaucratic. And and so it came in very handy. I just love the framework and the thinking in there, like the real life practical application tips.
Yeah.
And then better than all that, of course, is the amazing stories. I mean, opening up every chapter with a real life hostage negotiation. And I probably recommend that book to 50 people. And I have several people who literally use as a manual for negotiating deals all over the world. So.
So true. So true. Great book. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We'll make sure we tag you in this and let you know when it goes live in the coming weeks.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun, and I look forward to connecting again in the future.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP, Mark Smith, otherwise known as NZ365 Guy. If there's a Microsoft guest you'd love to see on the show, maybe has a great story to tell or works in an interesting area of the tech stack, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you. Please like and subscribe in your favorite podcast player. If you'd like to leave a review, go to nz365guy.com/review where you can do that. I appreciate it. See you next time.